Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The girls are back in town. Yes, you can see Lucy and Jenny live when they bring a very special quiz night along with an edition of Fingers on Buzzers to the Clapham Grand on Monday, the 26th of October, 2020. There'll be quizzes, there'll be prizes. There's going to be a special guest, which will be announced shortly. Tickets are sold in groups of two and over. But if you're somebody that prefers to go to these things alone, then just drop us a line at fingersbuzzers@gmail.com and we'll partner you up with somebody to buy tickets with. In the meantime, you can go to claphamgrand.com for all information and tickets.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Well, hello and welcome to episode one of series... What is it, Jen?
Unbelievably, it is series four.
Goodness me.
Four?
We don't look young. We don't look old enough.
look young enough.
Yeah, that's I was about to say we don't look young enough. Lockdown's been hard. It's series four of Fingers on Buzzers, and we are delighted to be back, aren't we?
We are over the moon. It's a new school year.
Yes.
It's a new term.
Have you got a new notebook and pencil case? Because I have.
Oh, aren't you lucky?
I stole them off my daughter.
I've got hand-me-downs.
Oh, love. A little scuffed pencil case with someone else's name crossed out. I know, yeah. I've been there. I've been there myself. So we are going to spoil you with our first episode as well because we've got an amazing one.
Yes, we've got guests. We've got chat. We've got quiz.
The most important.
That's the theme of this entire series.
I've prepared some little sneaky extra questions actually for our guest who is going to be the mighty Angela Barnes, Barnsy.
My sister from another mister, apparently.
I mean, I know it's because it rhymes, but sister from another mister, brother from another mother, there's sort of a very different, there's something very different going on there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, the person you are most commonly mistaken for, Angela Barnes, is going to join us. And we're also going to have a chat with an American, Jenny.
What a treat.
I know.
What a treat.
I know.
It depends on the American, though. There's a couple I don't really want to chat to. But this is a top quality quizzing American.
She's like the anti-Trump.
Yes. I'm sure she'll put that on a T-shirt, in fact. We've got Anne, who's about to tell us about her experience as a quiz immigrant to the United Kingdom quizzing scene.
Well, and I can't wait. So should we get on with it?
Let's do it.
Superb. Anne Gavigan, it is lovely to have you with us. I've introduced you as an American, and we were very excited to have an American on the programme. So where are you now? Are you in the States or are you in the UK?
I've been in the UK now for about 10 years.
Okay. And whereabouts in the UK, roughly?
London.
Okay. I've heard of that. That's good. Okay. So, Anne, it's a delight and a joy to talk to you. And obviously now you've been in the UK for 10 years. You know our ways. But I believe there was a time where you were less familiar and something embarrassing happened as a result. Would you like to tell us your painful story?
I still don't know your ways. like, I can't tell Fern Cotton and Holly Willoughby apart.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
fair.
Yeah, there are things about Britain I don't know, but I'm in a local quiz league, the Quiz League of London. I have some very nice British friends who believe in me. And they said, come on, do eggheads with us. It'll be fun. And I said, well, uh-huh. I'm an American. I don't know that much about British stuff. And they're like, don't worry about it. Come on, it'll be fun. So I went on the show, and all of my British teammates were amazing. Like, they were going up against the eggheads, like, 5 questions, 6 questions. It's going head to head. And then I go up against the eggheads and I go out on a question about a skiffle television show from 1957.
is there any more British a quiz sentence?
Skiffle. I mean, I've got to be honest with you, Anne. I mean, I'm struggling to think what that show would have been.
It's, I think it's the 6-5 test.
6-5 special.
6-5 special, yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
Or possibly with a bit of the whistle test. You see, you've obviously learned about British popular music television shows because, yeah, whistle test was one and the 6-5 special. Goodness me. Well, I mean, that is harsh and cruel. But it didn't put you off quizzing.
It did not put me off quizzing at all. And it did not put me off quizzing about British subjects either. So,
good stuff. It's the only way to learn our ways is to find out about breweries. And, yeah.
Breweries.
1950s radio shows is another one that'll come up a lot. There you go. You'll love that. Completely irrelevant to everything else but quiz leagues.
And were you quizzing in America before you came over here, then?
I was a trivia person. I appeared on Jeopardy, but I wasn't in an organized league like I am here with regular quiz nights, yeah.
So what was it like in which era of Jeopardy? Who was your host of Jeopardy?
Oh, Trebek, Alex Trebek.
Amazing. And because we have discussed often on this podcast that Jeopardy's not really taken off over here.
And yet, it's about the only quiz show that has taken off in the United States. So it's rather strange for me to come here and then have people be like, oh yeah, I've been on Braid of Britain, I've been on The Chase, I've been on Eggheads, and list this whole thing. Whereas in the United States, you're like, yeah, I've been on Jeopardy.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because like, often you get it's trumpeted that a quiz show is going to the States. And then some, I mean, I suppose some of them do okay, but, you know, quite often the last you hear is it's been sold to America and then it kind of seems to sort of quietly disappear.
Although Weakest Link's just come back.
Yeah.
The second time around in the US.
With Jane Lynch.
Before it's come up here. So
that revival is probably imminent here, isn't it?
You'd think so, but
the problem is, Jen, they've got to find a redhead who can be a bit severe.
Aggressive ginger.
I don't know where they could find one of those, but I have her number if you're listening.
I can wink as well. Oh, barely, actually. I mean, the ladies here can see that. Yeah, I'm not convincing.
Well, so we can work on that. Don't worry, we can work on... Okay. Also, you are a bit too nice, but we'll work on all of that. Don't worry. It'll be fine. So had you seen Eggheads before you went on it then, Anne?
I had seen Eggheads before I went on it, because the first year I lived in the UK, I consumed a lot of television just to try to soak up the culture and the cultural references. Mm. Yeah.
So as an American person, what have you found that you like about quizzing in the UK, and what do you dislike, if anything?
I dislike A Roads. I dislike postcodes. I dislike Monopoly questions because we have different Monopoly board in the United States. But I do like being a ringer on my quiz team as an American when they ask like a question like, which American city are the Pistons from? And then I'm the person that everybody goes, oh, you'll know that. So, yeah. It's nice having that and then being able to pass all the questions about cricket to everybody else.
Yeah, I suppose American sports do come up occasionally, but I mean, I would say you only really need to know, you know, like baseball, Babe Ruth, you know, there's a few sort of names that come up all the time, but it's... Considering we absorb so much American culture, I think there's surprisingly little, actually, isn't there, Jen, really, that comes up on a regular basis?
Yeah, especially the sport, but we've got enough sport here for anybody. The fact that we can have all these wall-to-wall channels that are just discussing football when there is no football being played.
Mm.
I think that shows that we are dedicated to domestic provincial sports at the deepest level as a nation. But I think it's the same with the US. I mean, you wouldn't get a question on Jeopardy about sport if the answer wasn't the Ashes.
No.
That's it. What are the Ashes? There we go, that's Jeopardy.
I still didn't even know what the Ashes were until I moved over here, and then it was like, it's not somebody's name, it's, yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, Anne, I'm from here and I'm still not 100% sure. So you'd do better than me, you probably would. Shall I try you with a few British...
Yes, humiliation is... I've been waiting for it all day. Let's go for it.
Some classic British questions.
Okay, what is the correct way to serve baked beans?
With a breakfast...
That's a good answer. I was looking for on toast, but I will give you with a breakfast.
Breakfast is contentious, actually, still.
I mean, it's whether,
Are you going to put them in a little ramekin?
Yeah, you wouldn't put them...
On the side of your breakfast?
You put it on the breakfast next to the tomato and then the mushroom. At least that's... like, I don't eat full English either.
But I think you've got a definite point there for actually understanding the constituent parts of the full English and explaining.
Oh yeah, that's you're basically one of us now.
That's very good. Can you explain the meaning of a cheeky Nando's?
I can explain a Nando's. There's actually Nando's in the United States in two cities, one of which happens to be the city that I moved from. But a cheeky Nando's is kind of when you're either about to go out on the lash or you have been out on the lash and you're enjoying a cheeky Nando's, a quick bite with your mates.
Perfectly explained. My goodness, I could not have said it any better. What do we call Fruit Loops in this country, Anne?
I have absolutely no idea.
It's a trick question because we do not have... Fruit Loops. What we have, the nearest thing we have is Cheerios.
Yeah, that's as exciting as breakfast cereal should be, in my opinion. and I think it's a national thing. Ricicles were probably the most elaborate breakfast cereal I've ever eaten.
Yeah, no, we don't do like Lucky Charms, and American cereal just knocks us into a cocked hat, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You're doing very well. Okay, if you are in a difficult situation, a situation of great heartbreak or distress, what should you do?
I should get a Kylie Minogue album and some Kylie Minogue rosé and have a dance party in my flat.
Oh, that is the best possible answer. That definitely a point. I was going to say either have a cup of tea or some alcohol.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, I mean, you half answered that. I mean, that was very much a pride-based answer. I could see that, like, oh, I lost my handbag at Pride. Let's just go home, stick on a Kylie CD. We're done.
Well, it was a brilliant answer.
Very British. We're not going to complain about the handbag loss. That was very impressive.
You did fantastically.
You're basically one of us now.
Thank you.
So well done.
I think you're now officially like 1,004th in line to the throne.
Oh, yes. Brilliant.
Congratulations, Anne.
There you are. Congrats. And I think you should go back on Eggheads.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much to Anne, who is now officially a British person. Thank you very much, Anne. And you will be coming back later on to give us a quiz, I believe.
Very exciting.
We can't wait. Thank you very much. We are delighted to be joined for our very first episode of the new series by one of the loveliest people in show business. It's the wonderful Angela Barnes.
Oh, that's the best introduction I've ever had. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you are a wonderful comedian, a fantastic broadcaster, and as we have said on previous occasions, the person that Jenny is most commonly mistaken for in the public eye.
Yep,
get it all the time. And occasionally I've looked at a picture of Jenny and gone, God, even I thought that was me.
So occasionally you're on the same bill as Paul Sinha. Yeah. And I scroll too fast and I'm like, I'm doing what? All right, okay, fair enough. There's the red hair fringe glasses combo, which
that's
is it's a strong look, and that's why we've gone with it. But unfortunately, it's each other's look as well. I did have an argument once with a guy in a takeaway, convinced I was you.
Really?
He was not having it.
Sometimes it's easier just to go with it and just say, yes, you're right.
If I just go with it, people are going to start asking me difficult questions. It'll very quickly prove that I'm not the vixen.
This is a job swap that I would like to see. Well, we may, I think, later on delve deeper into the similarities and indeed differences between you two. I mean, obviously, I know the differences between you. Where one of you owns a dog and the other one doesn't. I mean, you know, your lovely dog, Tina, by the way, Angela, just absolutely brightens my life. Please keep putting pictures of her.
I do worry sometimes. I think, oh, do I post too many pictures on social media of the dog? And then I'm like, people don't care what I'm doing. They care what Tina the dog's doing.
Yeah.
So I will keep posting it.
I have a quiz question for you, right? Since your dog is called Tina, I thought I'll do you a question about other famous Tinas.
Ooh, okay.
So, did you call her after a Tina in particular?
She was named after Tina Belcher from Bob's Burgers. Her full name is Tina Belcher.
Oh.
People think we've called her after Tina Turner because that's probably the most famous Tina, but no, actually it's Tina Belcher who is my sort of spirit cartoon, I think, Tina Belcher from Bob's Burgers. If you haven't watched it, it's brilliant.
Finding more similarities here. It's been my sunshine for the last couple of weeks has been Bob's Burgers, and she's an iconic woman.
She's very wise, is Tina Belcher. Very wise.
I thought it might have been Tina Fey.
Well, this is the thing, you know, it encapsulates, there are lots of great Tinas, it turns out.
My Tina question to you is, which famous Tina became a Swiss citizen in 2013?
A Swiss citizen?
A citizen of Switzerland, who was issued a Swiss passport on April the 22nd, 2013.
I'm going to say Tina Turner.
You'd be right to say Tina Turner.
Yay! Is it a tax haven, Switzerland? I'm not sure it counts as that.
I think it might be reason that all the Formula One drivers and everything move there as well. But
yeah,
to be closer to the money.
Yeah.
And the other thing I've been enjoying in lockdown, as well as your beautiful dog Tina, is your sewing.
Oh, it's amazing. I'm supposed to be writing a book, that's the thing. So it's really, it's lockdown has been all about the procrastination for me. I've learned to crochet, I've learned to sew.
Can you name me, Angela Barnes, the two judges on Sewing Bee?
Oh, yes. The current one is Esme. It was May Martin, but it's now Esme. Oh, God, I've forgotten her surname. And Patrick, whose surname I've forgotten.
That's all right. Esme and Patrick.
I think we accept first names, I'm sure.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Esme and Patrick. Patrick Grant and Esme Young. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. Well, you see, now you've done very well. We always like to warm our guests up with a little bit of quizzing to start with.
And lovely.
But you are a very clever person, so I'm presuming that you are a fan of quizzing.
I am a big fan of quizzing. I wish I was as good at quizzing as Jenny is, but I do. I'm a quiz nerd.
What definitely. Was your, growing up, what were your favourites?
Well, shout out to Going for Gold.
Yes.
Blockbusters, obviously, I'm the Blockbusters generation. Mm-hmm. They were the two favourites, I think. Yeah.
And are there
any... Going for Gold, I've got a real soft spot for. And I think, you know, if Going for Gold was still on our telly, Brexit wouldn't have happened. Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah.
Well, it actually is something that we should think about genuinely, I think, is fostering a bit more. Whatever happens with Brexit, you know, I think fostering international relations with quizzing is maybe something that we should work on.
Absolutely.
It's more in common than that which divides us.
Exactly.
And what brings us all together across the world is a quiz.
Yeah. And what I loved about Going for Gold as well is, like, it used to astound me that they were all speaking English. And that made me, I think, really want to learn other languages. Because I just went, how come they can speak English and I can't speak their languages? Mm-hmm. That's shameful. Mm-hmm. Like, it really drove home to me how I should be making more of an effort.
And how many languages do you speak now, Angela?
Well, English. I can get by in conversational French and German, and that's it.
Well, there you go.
You know,
that's pretty darn gut. That's
sehr gut. Danke schön.
See, look, she's got it. She's absolutely
practically
got it.
Fluent, mate.
We were saying that Jenny should be the host of the rebooted Weakest Link because
definitely.
She's a sort of a sardonic redhead, or she can be mean, right? Whereas I think you are the new Henry Kelly. I think let's do a reboot of Going for Gold.
Oh, you are just giving me all these quotes for my tour posters. I am lining these up now.
Well, you are, of course, hosting the news quiz, which, I mean, it's not technically, this is a thing we have on this show sometimes, is panel shows or quiz shows, like, you know, never mind the Buzzcocks, we've debated, is it a quiz? It's not really. And the news quiz, I mean, people think the scoring is real, don't they, Angela?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure I'm not breaking down any fourth wall when I say here the scoring could not be more arbitrary than it is on the news quiz. When there's a producer just giving me a bit of paper going, who scored what? And I go, oh, I don't know. Give them two and then three. That's fine.
And it's lovely when people say, if you've been on the news quiz, on Radio 4, by the way, for those of you who haven't heard it, it's wonderful. Mm. And when you've been on the news quiz and people come up to you and say, oh, I thought you should have won it. You knew all the answers. And it's like, yeah, no, that's really kind. But
there's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Again, I'm sure I'm not giving away any state secrets here, but I do Mop the Week quite a lot. And people often go, oh, you're never on the winning team of Mop the Week. And I'm like, do you know, in every episode we record both teams winning. Like, you record both. And just by the luck of the draw, my team winning hardly ever makes the edit. But people feel really sorry for me. And it's like, it's not... No one's counting. It's fine.
Well, it's better to be a plucky underdog, I always think. You know, people
Absolutely.
Love that.
Absolutely.
And have Absolutely. You found that that you have been asked and invited to do quizzes? Now, I know that there may be stuff you have recorded that we can't talk about.
It's really frustrating because one of the best things is getting to do sort of celebrity versions of of quizzes, even though there's part of me that goes, oh, I wish I'd done them before because I'm sure they make them a bit easier for the celebs. And I don't like that. I'm like, I want to win it fair and square.
Yeah.
So I've recorded a couple, but they've not been broadcast yet. So I can't, my lips are sealed as to how I did, unfortunately.
Well, we may just have to get you back on when they are broadcast. Because yeah. There's
I will hold you to that.
We love a play-by-play on this show. We love to break down the triumphs and the tragedies. So now, we were talking about the news quiz. When we were discussing this with our lovely producer, Amanda, I said, wouldn't it be interesting if there was an actual news quiz, like a quiz
about the news.
Was actually not an invitation to say amusing things or to be witty, that was just how much do you know? Because I think
with real points and winners and losers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I am very bad at absorbing the news. And in weeks when I'm sort of doing the news quiz or something, then I will kind of pay more attention. But I find it doesn't go in. Do you know what I mean? I'm never quite sure.
Well, I think at the moment the news is so depressing that I've sort of only really pay attention when I'm doing the news quiz on What the Week. Otherwise, I'm quite happy to disengage with it, and I think that's the only way to stay sane right now.
Well, the way that I think we could stay sane is by treating it as a quiz with points,
okay.
Because I think that then I would absorb it, and then it wouldn't. So it would be like if a bad thing happens, at least you could get the question about it right.
Yeah, it's just revision then, isn't it?
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking. So to that end, we have asked a friend of the show, Mr. Stephen Allen, to provide us with an actual news quiz. I thought you would.
Oh, no, I wish I'd read the paper.
I know, well, I haven't either. So we can all just sort of flounder about together. But Amanda, do you have Stephen's questions lined up?
Hello, Steve here. Some newsy related questions, and they'll sound newsier if I do them in a newsy style voice. Seems quite fitting. So, question one. Prime Minister Boris Johnson has brought in the rule of six. Some people aren't sure if it's named after how many children he has, including him. But we do know how many names he has. The question is, what's Boris Johnson's full name?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Angela's looking confident.
Alexander.
De Pfeffel
Johnson, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's Alexander Boris, isn't it? Not that way around.
Yeah. He's proper. I'd trust him a slightly more if he was called Alex.
Yeah, to choose Boris.
Yeah, he sounds more like a fictional bear or something. I think we smashed that, ladies.
Okay, and the answer is...
The answer, Alexander Boris de Pfeffel Johnson.
It sounds like it better than Stephen Allen. Come on, mate.
It sounds like, you know, whatever Steve Martin's character's name is in The Man with Two Brains, Dr. Fanuna. So well done, Angela Barnes. First point to you. Shall we have question number two?
Question two. The coronavirus has brought in some restrictions for the TV show Strictly Come Dancing, but it's not all good news. However, we do know that the special episode that normally takes place by the coast for no good reason has been axed this year. Which seaside resort do they normally film the special in?
Oh, come on, Steve.
Blackpool, surely.
Current affairs. He's asking us about something that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Come on. They're not going to Blackpool.
Yes.
Mighty Blackpool. Yay. And of course there's a reason. They've got a blooming brilliant ballroom.
Yeah.
Heathen.
Yeah, we didn't like that question, Amanda, so we're going to say no points
to Steve.
Let's have the answer.
The answer, it's Blackpool. As if they hadn't suffered enough.
It's true.
Let's go on to question number three.
Yes, have another one.
Question three. One of Donald Trump's tweets had a warning put on it this week because he told people to do something twice. Can you guess what it is? Was it A, drink bleach, B, grab a or C, vote?
vote. He actually told people to vote twice.
And
vote as much as you can.
Well done, Twitter, for finally putting warnings on Donald Trump's tweets.
I do a history podcast, and our next episode's about Watergate, and I watched a 4-hour documentary about Watergate today, and I was like, this is nothing.
Like, I yearn for those days.
Yeah.
Oh, to bring back Watergate, Jesus.
When there was such a thing as scandal. Shall we listen to the answer? Let's just double check.
The answer was C, vote.
Congratulations. Yay. Well, I mean, I have to say, Angela, you are clearly eminently qualified to be host of the news quiz with topical knowledge like that. What else are you up to at the moment in your busy life?
Well, obviously in these times, not as busy as I'd like to be, but I'm writing a book at the moment. So, well, it's an audio book for Audible, so that hopefully will be coming out in the spring. But my biggest thing is I'm doing a history podcast with John O'Farrell.
He's lovely.
He is. I mean, let's not give him a big head, but he is lovely. And we've been doing it for about a year now, and it's really good fun. We basically just pick things that interest us in. We're both history nerds, and chat about them and do a bit of research and have a chat, and it's really good fun. So we're hoping that when we get back to the normal times, we'll do a few live episodes as well, so people can come and have a look. It's called We Are History, so we'll get that little plug in there.
And it is excellent. We Are History, which will be coming live soon, hopefully, as well, as hopefully. Fingers on buzzers in October, but we'll advertise to you about that later. Listen, it's been an absolute delight talking to you, Angela, and I'm wondering if we could squeeze in, I'm looking at Amanda, can we just squeeze in a couple of questions just to finally work out the difference between Angela Barnes, redhead who sometimes wears glasses, and Jenny Ryan, redhead who sometimes wears glasses, and both of whom are on television. Could we possibly find out? Is there a way we could do that, do you think?
Well, seeing as you've all been so good, then you can stay up a bit longer and do a couple of these questions before bed. Okay, the first category is sleep. Now, one of these lovely ladies talks in their sleep, and the other one is a noted snorer. But which one is which, Lucy?
One of these ladies talks and one of them snores. Oh, I mean, I snore like an absolute demon, and I have been known to talk. I don't know. I would say I think Jenny talks. I think Jenny likes to have a natter. I know she likes a talk, and I think she probably doesn't even stop when she's asleep. Which leaves Angela snoring. Angela's got a dog, so maybe she's just trying to compete with her dogs. Because dogs always snore.
You're right, and my snoring way back before I had a dog, unfortunately. My snoring was once described by a sleep consultant as heroic.
Wow!
Which I'm very proud of.
The Hercules of snoring.
Amazing.
I love it.
Oh, well, I'm very proud to have got that right, even though I feel I've insulted you both slightly in the process. But
not at all.
Lovely. Question number two.
Next category we have is adornments. Now, either Jenny or Lucy has three tattoos and the other has zero tattoos. So who has three tattoos and who has zero tattoos out of Jenny and Angela?
Oh, gosh, isn't that amazing that I don't know? You would think, given the level of intimacy I've had with both of these women, I think Jenny has none and Angela has the tattoos. I think Angela is the tattooed lady.
You're right.
Yeah.
I am indeed.
Right,
I have three small tattoos.
See, I would like this to stand as a testament to my love and affection for both of you, that I really, you know, I think about you both a lot. And
Lucy, we think about you, too.
I feel like I'm trying to know you well. But yeah, so where are your tattoos, Angela?
So I have a little handprint on my back.
Oh.
I have a map of Newfoundland in Canada on my right ankle, because it's where my mum's from.
Oh.
And I have this one on my wrist, is a tracing from the last birthday card my dad sent me before he died. It says, love you, comma, dad.
Oh,
so this is handwriting.
God, those are adorable.
It was good that you were wearing a long sleeve top, because this would have ruined the whole quiz.
It would have done. I haven't got face tattoos. Oh, who can it be?
And you have done time in prison, so, you know, it's a surprise.
Yeah, there's the teardrop, but you ignored that.
Hidden by the glasses.
Well, I'm two for two. I can only ruin this, Amanda, with the last question, so bring it on.
And the final category we have today is the Berlin Wall. Quite niche, but one of these had their celebrations overshadowed because the wall came down on her birthday, whereas the other one owns a little piece of the Berlin Wall because her dad was there to witness the event. So who's who?
Ooh. My goodness. Now, okay, so just going on, who's more likely to own a piece of the... But you're both likely to own a piece of the Berlin Wall. This is a really difficult one.
Got more and more in common, Jenny.
You are. I am starting to think that you actually are the same person and you've just done some trickery on this Zoom call to make me think that you're different. I think Angela owns a piece of the Berlin Wall and I think Jenny's birthday was overshadowed by it.
Lucy, you've been let down by Lizzie. No. Berlin Wall came down in November, and you know when my birthday is. Oh, it's not in November.
9th of November 1989, my 13th birthday.
Oh, love, I'm very sorry to hear that, both for your sake and now for mine in this quiz. But oh dear, well, I feel like I have got to know you both a tiny bit better, and I certainly will never confuse you again.
I can't say the same for us. I'm confused now.
Yeah, I don't know. Who am I?
Well, you're both bloody marvellous, and it's been a delight to have you on our show, Angela. And
thank you for having me. I love the podcast, by the way. I do listen because I am a quiz nurse. So, well, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being on. And we will all listen to your podcast, Your History with the lovely John O'Farrell. So now we welcome back the lovely Anne Gavigan, who we spoke to earlier, who is going to turn the tables on us and give us a quiz, Jen.
Ooh, this is the scary bit.
Okay.
This is the scary bit. It's revenge time.
So, Anne, be gentle with us, if you would.
So I got a question wrong about a skiffle program that actually inspired this show. It's a show hosted by Dick Clark for the entirety of its run from 1956 to 1989. What is it called? And it is cited as an inspiration for Top of the Pops.
Now, I think, Jen, I've got American Bandstand in my head.
That's the Rascal.
Is that, do you think?
That's got to be it, hasn't it?
That's the only one I can think of.
You're correct. You got it.
Yay! I was thinking of the Corny Collins show from Hairspray.
Yeah.
That was, I was getting confused, and with Grease as well.
There's
they have the live video link to the dance, don't they? So yeah, I would get confused with any number of high school based musicals, but correct. Well done, Lee. Straight in there.
Question number two: who is the current U.S. Secretary of Transportation? She served as the Secretary of Labor during the administration of George W. Bush and Director of the Peace Corps during the first Bush administration. Sadly, many quizzers may be more familiar with her due to her marriage.
Oh.
Wowzers.
Goodness me. Right. This is great because you've given us so much information and my mind is completely blank.
So we absolutely should know this. Absolutely.
Oh.
But, oh my goodness.
Who was married to... I mean, obviously I'm going to know because of her marriage. You know, let's not even pretend that it's not going to be something...
The scurrilous gossip sign.
Yes, I only know... I only know boudoir history and politicians by who they've slept with. So,
It's not actually that exciting who she slept with, like her marriage. It's not an exciting marriage, but it is a well-known marriage.
Okay. Not exciting for us, or not exciting for her. She's not had a good time.
It's no Edwina Curry, John Major kind of.
Oh, nice an English reference there, Anne. Very good.
I love it.
I've got nothing, Jen.
I'm annoyed with myself.
Yeah.
I should have more going on, but...
Can you tell us who she's married to, Anne?
She's married to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Mindy McConnell. It sounded nice. Mitch McConnell and...
You're going to have to put us out of our misery now.
It's Elaine Chao.
Good.
Nobody in the United States knows transportation secretaries either. Nobody's going, Ray LaHood. Yeah. Really love Norman Mineta.
I'm still not even sure who are Secretary of State for Transport is. Is it Shapps still?
I think it is Shapps.
I don't know.
It is Shapps.
Shapps. I would only remember that because he keeps popping up giving statements about stuff. I'm like, why have they got Shaps out? He's transport. He's nothing to do with any of this.
And if you were in America, you'd be going, why is Chow? What's Chow doing? Where,
yeah.
Why is Chow out?
Calm down, Chow.
Oh, dear.
It's not your remit.
I'm sorry. Sorry about that, everyone. That was embarrassing.
Bad. That was bad.
So one more question to redeem ourselves.
Americans learn all about the War of 1812. In 1814, First Lady Dolly Madison rescued what painting during her evacuation from the White House, saving it from looting by British troops?
Would it be that portrait of George Washington that's got the corner off it?
It is indeed the portrait of George Washington by Gilbert Stuart, yes.
Yes.
I wouldn't have been able to tell you the artist, but I know it because it's in The Simpsons, obviously. That's where I get all of my American history. And that's the bit that's in Springfield Museum, isn't it?
Aye.
The rolled up corner.
Amazing. Oh, well done, Jen. Well, yay. I mean, do you know what, Anne? I think you've made me realise that American politics may be an area to which I need to pay some attention.
Nope. Don't bother.
Not at the minute if you don't want a headache.
Well, that's true. God. Try and find a country whose politics you do really want to take a look at in depth. It's very difficult at the moment. That was brilliant questions, Anne. Thank you so much. Really lovely to have you on the show. And we'll hopefully talk to you again soon.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. It's great to be on a show about quizzing because I love quizzing and I love your show.
Oh, thank you, lovely. Thank you so much. Well, what a show that was, Jen.
We are back with a bang.
Oh, baby, we are.
The B of the bang.
Oh, it's so nice to be back. And I cannot wait for next week where we will have more quizzing fun. But I suppose we should say thank you to all the people that we chatted to today. To the lovely Angela Barnes.
Brilliant. My soul sister.
Yeah.
My doppelganger.
I mean, I like both of you. I like both of you. I couldn't choose. It's like asking me to choose my favourite child.
One of these days you're going to have to.
Well, don't make me choose. And Anne Gavigan for all her lovely quizzing stories and questions. And of course, Steve N. Allen, who we love always.
Always. He's always welcome here.
He is, as are our gorgeous listeners. So thank you very much, all of you, for listening. We'll see you for episode 2 next week. Bye.
Bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.